And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I think that this week was a week of heated discussion, an attempt by the Republicans to frame the discussion on Afghanistan as the only political discussion for this period, and one in which they managed to absent themselves from all responsibility for the policy that brought us into Afghanistan. Bush's policy wasn't examined. Trump's policy wasn't examined. The fact that they engaged in wars, they directed these wars, they started these wars, and the wars were lost. The war was lost. And it left to Biden to pull out from a lost situation. That's what they focus on, that Biden lost. But Biden didn't lose. Biden campaigned saying he was going to pull out. And when Biden was vice president, he was famous for saying we shouldn't be there. We should pull out. He was overruled. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene, America's greatest congresswoman, is preparing articles of impeachment because he pulled out. You know, when you lose a war, you don't get to dictate the terms of pulling out. You just pull out, right?
Well, you know, there's a really a lot to unpack there. I got a text or an email from an acquaintance of mine, Republican, who, you know, attached some sort of a video of the horrors that the Taliban had done over the years, and said, attached to it was, does Biden really realize who he was negotiating with and trusting? And of course, I then pulled up in reply the picture of Mike Pompeo with all those Taliban people in the same room as he, with some of the quotes that he and Trump had made, because they of course negotiated the fact that America was pulling out supposedly as of May, rather than
it was supposed to have been pulled out by May 1st.
Yeah, you know, and one of the other things,
and then they did nothing to implement that. They came to the agreement, and that was it. That was done. Finished. Were finished.
Well, it's all, that's the Trumpian way. It's all about the image and the PR.
Yeah.
It's never about the substance. You know, in Ukraine, all he wanted was say that there's a investigation going. He never cared about the investigation. When we're talking about the election issues in Arizona, just say that it was, you know, that the election was, that there were problems in the election. Never, you know, don't back it up with any facts. And in this one, the same thing. You know, between when they, I can't remember when they finalized that agreement, when Pompeo finalized that agreement with the Taliban, and the end of the Trump presidency in January, they got nobody out. They pulled none of our friends and allies that Biden is trying to get out of there. None of them came out for months and months and months.
But also, they made no plan to get anybody out, and then attacked the Democrats for not having a plan.
Of course. Well, planning in the Trump administration is that's like oil and water.
Well, here's the plan. Here's how they do the planning. Okay, let's have a plan. All right, we need a plan. That's the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like the plan to inoculate people. They got the vaccine. They had no plan to evacuate. Okay, it's up to the it's up to the governors,
right.
And that kind of thing. That's their the plan. Well, remember his great plan for a better and cheaper healthcare system?
Yeah, I remember that plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember his plan for infrastructure, all the building he was going to do?
Well, that's what he knew. He knew how to build. He didn't need a plan. He just did it.
Right. Right. So
just did it. But you see, the Democrats, I don't see any correct response by the Democrats. Some of the Democrats are actually going along with some of this Republican stuff.
Yeah.
But what the Democrats, what anybody should be saying is, forget about how we're pulling out. Why the hell were we there to begin with? Why did you go in? Why did you, you're talking now that you're going to betray the Afghani women? Why did you go into an alliance with people whose whole political purpose was to subordinate, subject, exploit, enslave women? That was the whole purpose of their policy. That's all they cared about, that and land reform. They didn't want it. You decided to make an alliance with these people. You spent 20 years at it. Why? Why should we listen to anybody who proposed it, who justified it, who argued for it? That's the question that the Democrats should be raising.
Well, you're talking about the 20 years before 9/11.
The 20 years before 9/11, yes, but also that was Bush's changing of the mission. They remember with 9/11, they said, we're going to go in there, we're going to knock out these guys who bombed us. So they did it. Then they said, okay, now we're going to rebuild Afghanistan. How? With whom? Your allies in doing that were the people who rose in rebellion 20 years earlier on the program of opposition to land reform and preventing women from having equal rights, from keeping women domestic slaves. That was their program. Always, always. You had a group of people who were crazier and a group of people who were less crazy. But you had already beaten the ones who were the secularists and who were the women's rights people through an alliance with these anti-women forces. Well, you spent the next 20 years trying to work with these anti-women forces. Why should anybody who proposed that be listened to? Well, you get one of these guys. I read Ryan Crocker wrote an article in which he points out we shouldn't leave. We could stay there with a small force that wouldn't cost us too much. Stay there with a small force that wouldn't cost us too much forever? When do you leave? Or do we annex Afghanistan? Does that become the 51st state?
Well, you start talking about effectively the lesser of two evils, and then you still wind up with an evil.
Yeah, and the very evil that you claim that you're fighting, but that's your ally.
Yep, the lesser one then becomes the greater evil at some point.
Yeah, when he wakes up and says, what are you doing here? I can do this on my own. I don't need you. Out. And then he, you know, bombs you out.
Well, you know.
No intervention. No imperial intervention. No attempt to impose U.S. hegemony through military means has worked for the United States. It's not worked in any country that they tried it. In Vietnam, there was an enormous nationwide movement against what was called properly American imperialism. Well, that's what it is. The attempt by the American government on behalf of American corporations to dominate and control other countries, to allow the export of American capital so they have a stranglehold over their economies. That's what it is. We spent $2 trillion on this war, but $1.8 trillion of that went to American corporations. Taxpayers in America didn't get to spend it on themselves. They got to spend it on General Dynamics. That's what you should be talking about. Never mind Biden pulled these people out. Of course he pulled them out. They couldn't stay there any longer.
General Dynamics had more than 5 stars.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, and now we get into the politics of it. And, of course, you know, you get the short-term politics, and then you get the long view of history. And you're just going to have to see how this plays out. Things are still very dynamic. You know, I mean, this week we...
They're dynamic, but you've always made the point that you always have to pay attention to how the debate is framed.
Yes.
That determines what the issue is that you're going to help to decide. And I don't see that the Democrats are framing the issue properly. Of course, it's true that they went along with this policy, many of them. And it may be embarrassing for them to attack their own people who went along and were great promoters of this and still promote this policy. But I don't see how the Democrats can get out of it unless they say we shouldn't have done this ever. and this is why. And it has nothing to do with humanitarian nonsense. It has to do with just cold, real politics. You can't, it's wrong to try to subjugate other nations, and you can't do it. You don't have the power. And what happens is you end up killing a lot of people and immiserating more and creating horrors at home and abroad.
Now, that's one thing that the Republicans are good at is shifting their positions and pretending that their old position was never their position.
Right.
You know, or at least diverting attention by framing to their new position and covering up their old position.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. They're liars. That's the technique of lying. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the truth is, well, what do we say? The truth is the first casualty of war.
Right. Exactly. And, exactly.
Of course, the truth has been a casualty of the Trump administration for a long time.
Did you see that the January 6th Commission is asking for subpoenas into Trump, among other things, into Trump's mental status?
Yeah, that was an interesting part. They had some very sweeping subpoenas and requests of government, and they're going to be making or have made that from the social media companies as well. And we have to see what they're able to uncover. Yeah, but the mental status of Trump was an interesting thing. Whether or not anybody in the government was thinking that perhaps, you know, there was that brief period when they're talking, invoking the 25th Amendment and things like that.
But didn't that discussion show that the 25th Amendment is totally unusable? I mean, you got to get the cabinet that the guy appointed to agree that he's nuts or that he's incompetent. Yeah. Unless he's had a stroke and is clearly unconscious, how's that ever going to happen?
Pretty much that was, you took the words out of my mouth. The situation with the stroke, a bad heart attack, that kind of thing. I mean, they've used it briefly when presidents have had to undergo procedures and been under anesthesia for brief periods of time, but nothing like what this is contemplating.
No, I mean, wasn't the model for this Woodrow Wilson? I mean, he basically did have a stroke, but his wife covered it up, and she ruled the country for a year in his name. In those days, the reporters, nobody could get into the White House, so nobody knew.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the historical model. But in his day, the imperative wasn't as severe because things ran much slower. There were less overriding dangers. You didn't have ICBMs or things like that that had to be dealt with. You know, we still had the two oceans protecting us from foreign problems.
And how about Melania as the actual holder of power?
Oh,
wouldn't that be nice?
Oh my God. Well, we'll see. If there's ever a divorce, we'll find out what kind of power she has.
Yeah, well.
But she doesn't seem inclined. I thought about 6 months it would take her to file, but it doesn't.
Why should she file? She's got a good situation. She's got her own house. She gets to use all the properties. She has what she needs, has what she wants. She's, what do the Trumpists call people who bring their families over? Chain migrants. She did that with her parents. They live in Mar-a-Lago too, don't they?
They might. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
But anyway, that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. Why shouldn't she live with her parents? Meanwhile, we have some results in Pennsylvania about follow through from the census. The numbers come out. They have an implication on districting, fair districting, right?
Yeah, and we've got to talk about elections because this goes well beyond Pennsylvania. But we have this grouping of five people, the leaders of the Democrats and Republican leaders of the House and the Senate, and of course that's four, and that gets deadlocked, and then the Pennsylvania Supreme Court gets to point the fifth, and they appointed the fifth, and we have our first indication as to which way he is going to go on that this week. When he favored the Democratic proposal to where prisoners get counted for purposes of the census and redistricting. And up to now, they were counted in where the prisons were, and a lot of the prisons were in Republican rural type districts. And new way they're going to be counted is where they're from, so that
where they came from before they were sentenced.
Right. Right. Their homes at the time of their sentencing. And as a result, you're going to have fewer people in these rural counties and more people in the urban counties, primarily Philadelphia and Pittsburgh areas.
And some of these rural counties are so small that just a few thousand prisoners in a big prison makes a difference. It can mean that the county has an additional house of state house member or not. You wouldn't think that a few thousand adults would make a difference, but they do.
Yeah. And we could see substantial rejiggering of the state legislative seats, both in the state house and in the state senate. Meanwhile, the state senate had an interesting take this past week. We've been talking about Senator Mastriano and his all-out Trumpist war on the election of 2020 and the fact that he's calling for an Arizona-style fraud.
In fact, he went to Arizona.
He went to Arizona. He went to Mar-a-Lago. But he's basically been an incompetent in what he was doing. And so the state Senate pro tem president, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, Jake Corman, who's a highly partisan figure, said, you're out, Doug. You know, you're out. We're going to put someone who we think is more competent in to try to carry the ball now, Senator Chris Dush. And, Dush has been just as partisan, but...
Dush came to power as a Tea Party guy.
Yeah. And so we'll see if that goes.
But by the way, Dush went to Arizona with Mastriani. They went together.
Yeah. And now, but we're finding out that Arizona, they're still having problems. They're doing everything to try to figure out how to change the results of the count in the elections, and they haven't been able to produce anything. They hired this company that was basically grifting them. Went through all these procedures. They have no experience in audits. We're looking for bamboo in paper and what have you in the ballots. And they're supposed to finally have the results this week. And lo and behold, they came up with an excuse that they had three other people came down with COVID. And by the way, we need to now look at the envelopes. But, you don't need the people actually to be there. All this stuff should be online, and you just release it electronically.
No. You have to check out whether there are bamboo fibers in the envelope, which would prove that the Chinese did the voting. Your sense of geography and science is amiss. I can see that.
Okay. All right. I'll have to go back to the school. But they're still trying to figure that out. And meanwhile, up in Michigan, where they tried to pull off one of these things. As a matter of fact, the vote in Michigan was even more overwhelming than Arizona, about 10 times more overwhelming. It was about 120-some thousand people. The judge there, who was overseeing the lawsuits brought by the Trumpists, came out with a 110-page opinion, really lowering the boom on the lawyers who brought this. The Sidney Powell, the Lynn Wood folks, and essentially the judge said, you can make all sorts of claims and declarations out of court, and other people can, but when you come into court, you got to deal with the truth. There's a requirement that you're doing something in good faith, and nothing that you did is in good faith. Therefore, I'm ordering you folks, A, to pay the cost of this lawsuit to the other side. B, you've got to take some continuing legal education courses, half of them on election law. The others are probably on ethics.
Listen, if they couldn't learn anything when they were young and their brains were presumably functioning, why will they be able to learn anything when they're old and senile?
Well, Well, they've really, Linwood and Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani have really gone off the deep end on this stuff. And then the third thing that she ordered was that in every state that they are licensed to practice law, that the disciplinary boards take a look at whether or not they should be sanctioned, suspended, or possibly disbarred. And meanwhile, these folks, they don't back down. They double down and they triple down. And new people seem to rise up, as in Pennsylvania, to take their place. They're like moths, attracted to the Trump flame. And, of course, you know what happens to moths and flames.
Listen, the gangsters, the top gangsters get knocked off. The guys underneath them shoot them. The cops arrest them. New ones step forward. The gangs doesn't disappear. There's always somebody who figures, I can do this better. I'll succeed.
Well, the grifting continues. Yeah. The judge even noted that. She said, you know, she was disturbed by the fact that these folks have been raising money off of this, and that the money that to pay the cost won't come out of their own pockets, but come from the money that they've raised. She doesn't have a lot about this, just to mention it, but still, it's one of those things. Meanwhile, there were a couple of guys who did get hit out of their own pockets.
$5 million worth.
Yeah.
That's a good fine. That's already a hefty fine.
Yeah, the Federal Election Commission.
They never did anything like that before.
No. And these were guys that were doing fraudulent voter robocalls.
Yeah. And had been ordered not to do it. It wasn't their first time that they got caught. They got caught before. And they were told, don't do this. So they kept doing it. And the reason they kept doing it was because the FEC never sanctioned them. You can't have regulation without sanctions. It doesn't work.
Right. There has to be consequences.
Yeah. $5.1 million. But, you know, why can't they go and raise the money up the same way and never have to pay it themselves? I guess they can.
Yeah, they might, as long as they're as long as it's working, the grift is working, they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Republicans continue passing anti-voting law.
Right.
And continuing to take over voting, the administration of votes in county after county, and continue to deny that they're doing anything wrong.
Well, that's
the Texas legislature passed this law. The Democrats came back, and they passed their... And Texas has the lowest percentage of people who could vote who take part in voting.
Yeah, the lowest percentage of participation rate.
Right. So now they've passed laws to make it even more difficult.
But the Republican strategy has been going on for years, take over things at the grassroots. And it works. And the Democrats don't seem to be able to understand that, or few of them do. Stacey Abrams understands that. And it's a hard process, but you have to do it. It's not top down. It's bottom up.
I know. And it's not one that the Democratic Party of Pennsylvania seems to think they need to do. Because they don't do it. And if you raise it with them, they say, no, we're going to concentrate on mobilizing our base. Well, but if your base keeps shrinking, you're mobilizing fewer and fewer people, relatively speaking, what's the point of that?
Yeah, and you have to attract, first you have to attract people to your base, and then you have to energize them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They don't seem to get that.
But the House did pass the voting rights bill. Didn't get a single Republican vote.
Right. And that's a measure of how far and how fast the Republican Party has changed and in many ways fallen. I was talking to someone yesterday while we were working out, and this is a pretty moderate fellow, and he lives among a lot of Trumpists, but he was just shaking his head. He said what the Republican Party used to stand for or at least pretend to stand for, and what they're doing now. He said it's incredible that they're just a shell of they don't even pretend anymore to be for anything. They used to have, you know, when the Voting Rights Act was finally was renewed a number of times. One year it passed the Senate unanimously. 1 year it passed the House with only 33 dissenting votes. And now you have zero Republicans voting for a voting rights bill. First of all, the voting rights bill, although we talk about it affecting minorities and whatever, it's technically a bill that protects everybody's voting rights. If you don't protect other people's voting rights, how are you going to protect your own? And not even the folks like Adam Kinzinger voted for it, or people in really highly contested districts where they barely won the last time. There were a lot of close elections in the moderate districts, like the one just north of you in New York State. None of the Republicans voted. They're in lockstep. They want voter suppression, in essence. It's their last tactic. After the Mitt Romney loss, the Republicans held that autopsy, and they said, you have to change. You have to be more attractive to minorities, to women, to whatever. And the Republican Party basically said, no, thank you. We're going to double down on what wasn't working.
But that's fine. Let them do it. Let them be the party, as they are the party, of white reaction, of corporate interests, of anti-women's rights, of racism. Let them be that party. Let everybody who supports that be in that party. But there's got to be the mobilization of everybody else, because that group doesn't exceed 30%, 33%.
Donald Trump did better among Hispanics this time than he did last time.
That's right.
So the Democrats have to, wake up on in that area.
Somebody's got to wake up. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be the alternative.
You wonder, with all the strategists that they have and what have you, that you think that they could, that someone would realize this. The only ones that do seem to be the ones that they're not using anymore as strategists, the James Carvilles of the world.
Well, that brings you to a guy like Gavin Newsom. Got just a few moments. Liberal governor in California. He's been in office 2 years. Looks like he's going to get turned out of office as we sit here today. Well, and he's going to be replaced by a guy that makes Rush Limbaugh look liberal.
Yeah. And the quirk in California law is Newsom could get 47, 48, 49% of the vote. He would then be out of office, and then it would go to the top vote getter among the 46 that are running, and that top vote getter may only have 18, 19, or 20%.
And he'll be the governor.
Maybe. Yep. There's a lawsuit out there saying that that kind of result is unconstitutional in California. You can't have 20% beating 48 or 49%.
Wait and see. You can have anything.
And that's could have more.
Samuel Alito will figure out a way to explain it.
Or John.
You don't have his insight. He has better insight. He understands. And it'll end up in his hands if it goes that way.
Well, he'll be one of them. He'll be one of them.
Yeah. All right. We've done it for this week. We've run out of time again.
Yep.
Next week, we got plenty coming up. I mean, the infrastructure deal is not done. It's a process that is not yet finished. Voting rights is not done. And in fact, nothing is done, including Afghanistan's pullout. So we'll talk about this next week.
Talk about it next week. Meanwhile, we mourn the 13 Americans that were lost and the others who were killed in that.
Several hundred Afghanis, right?
Yeah.
Terrible.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.